This is one of the most powerful pictures in scripture for me. It's the story of hope that is transcendent. She walked through the afternoon, and the sun was so intense. She should be there in the morning time, but she just couldn't do it anymore. She just couldn't stand it anymore. And so she was hiding out. What she couldn't stand is the shame and the humiliation. In the morning time, all the women in her village would walk out of town together to the same place, to the well, to Jacob's well, to draw their daily ration of water. And that was their social moment. And they began their morning together. But it was too hard for her. She couldn't stand their glances, their stares. She couldn't stand the gossiping, the whispers, the prying eyes, the questions. And so she waited until later. They were gone. And the heat of the sun, as bad as it was not as bad as what she had been putting up with. She was a Samaritan. That meant she was a victim of racism. She was a half-breed. She was looked down upon by every Jew. She was a woman. That meant she was a victim of sexism. She didn't hold a place. She barely could hold her head up. She'd been used by men her entire life on many, many tragic levels. She knew the story of rejection and abandonment, and so she went out there and endured the heat. And when she got to the well, she wasn't alone. What's he doing here? She could tell by the way he dressed as she approached that he was a Jew. What's he doing here by himself? She couldn't turn and walk the other direction, and so she approached the well, and he speaks to her. That alone is weird. For a man to speak to a woman, for a Jew to speak to a Samaritan, and he asks for a drink of water. Her mind is racing. She's street savvy, and she's thinking, what does he want? Everybody wants something. What's he doing at the well if he doesn't even have a bucket, a water jar to dip into the well? It's a deep well. He's nowhere close to water. And she asks him. But it's not just a Jew talking to a Samaritan. It's not just a man talking to a woman. There's a tone. There's respect. He says, please, will you give me a drink of water? And so she asks the obvious question, you don't have anything to draw the water yourself? I don't understand. And he smiles and he says, if you knew the gift that God wants to give you, and if you knew who it is that you're talking to, you wouldn't be questioning me asking you for water. You'd be saying, could I have the water that you're offering? Because the water that I offer is a water that you're never thirsty again. The water that I offer gives life. It bubbles up and nobody's ever thirsty again. And her face flushes and her heart pounds. And she tries to not appear too excited, but she's thinking, if I could get that water, I'd never have to come to this well again. I never have to deal with their prying eyes. And in a controlled tone, she says, sir, please give me this water. And then, out of the blue, he changes subjects. And he asks her the worst question he could possibly ask. he says, why don't you go bring your husband to speak to me? And her heart that once was pounding stops. At a moment when she's getting a little bit excited about somebody who seems to actually care about her, he asks the worst possible question. This is so confusing. This is so undoing. A man who speaks to a woman, a Jew who accepts a Samaritan. But there was something that she was struggling with to understand, and finally she could put a word to it. He's the first gentleman. This is the first bit of gentleness she's known. Should she lie? My husband's busy. He can't talk. Should she just change the subject? Look, do you want the water or not? Should she just walk away and leave? Look, it's getting late in the day. It's really hot. I've got to go. But there's something about kindness that invites honesty. And so she does something that she doesn't often do. She tells the truth. I don't have a husband. And at that moment, it's as if time stops in her heart and in her mind. She thinks, will he be angry? Will he be disgusted? Will he leave? Will he tell her what she already knows to be true, and that is that she's worthless? Will he just be angry and dismiss her? But there's the truth. It's out there now. If you have a Bible, I want you to underline John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, because this is huge. This is historic. Jesus's response is this. You're right. You don't have a husband. For you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth to me. No condemnation, no judgment, no criticism, no rage, no what a mess you've made of your life lecture. Her heart begins to thump again in her chest. She says, you seem to be a prophet. There's an understatement. You seem to be a prophet. Could I ask you a question? Your people say God is in Jerusalem. My people say he's here on this mountain. Where's God? Her life at every corner said, I don't know where he's at. She had been in pursuit of God, but everything, one thing after another, had fallen apart in her life. She had given up on marriage, and now she's just spending time with a man who won't even give her his last name. At that moment, I wonder, did Jesus smile? Did he glance up at his Father in heaven and wink? Did Jesus begin to weep? Who would have thought out here, a woman, a Samaritan, a five-time loser with a hungry heart? She said, I just don't know anymore. And he says, the day's coming when it's not about going to be about worshiping here on this mountain. The day's coming and now is upon us when it's not going to be the Mount Gerizim or Jerusalem the Samaritan way of worship or the Jewish way of worship, but what happens in a heart, and that's where the worship happens. And she wants to pursue this, but she sort of knows enough about what Scripture says. And she says, well, I sort of know that is going to be true someday. She sort of had that future cast that Malcolm was just talking about. I know one day Messiah is going to come. And Jesus, I think in a whisper, says, I am the Messiah. And there's one more verse that I want to read to you, because this should not be paraphrased at all. This is historic. John chapter 4, verses 28 and 29 say these words. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back into the village, telling everyone, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this possibly be the Messiah? My friends, there comes a moment when you encounter Jesus, when all the burdens that you were carrying, that weighed you down over time, over a lifetime, over generations, when you really have this kind of encounter, you can lay the burdens beside the well. She didn't leave a water pot behind. She left a life burden. She no longer cared about tattered romances. She wasn't concerned about the prying eyes. She didn't care a whit about criticism or what anybody else might think. As a matter of fact, the very people that she was trying to avoid that afternoon were the very ones that she was running to when she left the water jar behind and she went home. She said, come see a man who told me everything. They're thinking, we already know everything about you. He said everything. He knows everything about me. This could be the Christ. This could be the one. And that's what happens when the craftsman reaches into the woodpile and takes a piece that might be discarded by other users of wood, and he crafts beauty out of what was broken. The journey that Jesus and his friends were on that day, every good Jew would travel north and get to the southern border of Samaria and cross the river and travel north on the other side of the river just to avoid seeing or speaking to. On this day, Jesus walked straight through. His Jewish friends had to be nervous. They had to be disgusted. They had to be undone. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus sought her out. Jesus went out of his way to find this loser. Does that give you hope? Because you won't find hope in a better job, and you won't find hope in a better marriage, and you won't find hope in children that do well in their grades, in their behaviors. You won't find hope in that stuff, the stuff that our culture says, you got to try this. You'll find peace. You'll find happiness. You'll find joy if you just do this, buy that, experience us. It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's crazy. I know. It seems so impossible. When we are talking about the craftsman changing lives, it's not just a hope that's out there. He's been doing it forever. I know this personally because I'm one. I've been forever changed, not because of what my mom taught me, not because of the example of my wife, but because he's merciful and he takes the broken and makes something beautiful. If you think that's hard to believe, just wait until next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to start a new series at Renovatus. It's going to be timely. It's going to be hard. It's going to be beautiful and life-changing. I can hardly wait, but I'll see you next week. Hey. Happy Mother's Day.